Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges, and today's Thursday, the day we try to apply and live out what we've been learning. And this week we've looked at the story of the prodigal son, one of Jesus' most famous stories that he used to teach about his forgiveness and his father's forgiveness. It's the story of these two sons, one who looks like he's done everything wrong, one who looks like he's done everything right, but in the end, actually, they've both done something wrong. They've both insulted their father in different ways, and their father is willing to do anything it takes to get them both back, to have them both in his family once again. This is what Jesus was teaching us, was that his father, he will do anything it takes to forgive us and to get us back into his family. Every human being has rebelled against God in some way, whether it's by staying close and insulting him like the older son, or whether it's in running away and doing everything wrong and trying to push God away like the younger son. We all have our own way, but we all push God out of our lives in some way or another. And God is willing to give up his dignity to get us back, like he did in this story. See, both sons misunderstood their father in one way or another. We use the language of grace and law to get at this. The younger son thought his father was a man of law. He thought, okay, I've broken my dad's rules. I ran away, spent all his money, insulted him. I don't deserve anything. If I go back now, I'm going to have to offer to work for him. I'll be his servant, his employee, basically his slave, because I don't deserve to be a son anymore. And his father turns out to be a man of grace and love. He says, yeah, you did break my laws, but I love you and I forgive you. The older son, on the other hand, he also thought his father was a man of laws. And he thought, you know what, I followed my dad's laws. I stayed close. I worked the farm. I deserve everything because I worked for it. And his father says, no, I'm a man of grace. You've got what you've got because I love you and I forgive you, not because you've earned it. God gives us things out of grace, free gifts, because he loves us, not because we work hard and deserve something. We can basically come home to God or stay home with God because of God's grace. It's not about what we do, it's about our openness to God's forgiveness and love and gifts of grace, and whether we're willing to accept them or not. And here we've actually got the one son who seems to have messed up most accepting that gift of forgiveness and grace. And we've got the older son who's actually the one most resistant to it because he thinks he's so good. He's the one who's actually resisting his father's forgiveness and grace. It's backwards. It's a little messed up, but it's the way a relationship with God works. I want you to imagine a line where over here is zero. And over here is 100. Somebody at zero would be a person who knows nothing about God, has no opportunity to ever know God, love God, be loved by God, completely hopeless. Might not surprise you to hear, I don't think anybody can actually be a zero. Everybody has some opportunity to get to know God and his love and his grace and forgiveness. There's nobody who is hopeless in God's world. He made us all, he loves us all, he gives us all opportunities to know him again, to return home. The other end of the spectrum, you've got 100. You've got somebody who, you know, knows God so perfectly, so wonderfully, loves him so much, is so loved by him, that actually they are just like God. They look just like him. You look at him, you say, that looks like Jesus, and Jesus looks like God. Again, you've never met anybody like that. That's the goal, for us to have such a close relationship with God that we become more and more Christ-like, such that we can live in his kingdom. And when he looks at us, he says, yeah, you belong in my kingdom. That's the goal. That's sanctification. That's a holy, perfect life. And you've never met anybody with that life. You may have met people moving towards it or away from it. You've never met anybody who's actually arrived until they've died and they arrive in God's kingdom of heaven. So everybody you've ever met in this world is between 0 and 100, between 1 and 99 somewhere. Now, the amazing thing about this line isn't that you should locate yourself somewhere and say, yay, I'm great. I'm more than 50% follower of Jesus. That's not really the point. Although that 50% mark is important, because I believe it's the point where somebody decides to follow Jesus, it's not everything. There are people who are somewhere between, 1 and 49 who are learning to follow Jesus. And what's important is that they're moving towards deciding to follow Jesus. Then there are those who have decided to follow Jesus, but you can't get stuck there. The point is to continue moving to become more and more and more like Jesus, to continue growing as his follower. Not to stop at 50, 51, 52, but to continue becoming more and more Christ-like, to continue trying, sometimes failing, to learn to speak and act more like Jesus in all your daily interactions. It's not easy. That's why I think the greatest news in this line is that it's not so much about where you are in this line, you know, 1, 2, 3, 49, 75. What's important is which way you're going. Because we all make mistakes. We're human. While we're still on earth here, there are going to be times we try and fail to follow Jesus. And so most people, it's not a linear progression where they just learn to follow Jesus more and more every day. It's more jagged than that, where we fall back and forwards. And what matters most is not where we are, but which direction we're going. If we've messed up, if we've never decided to follow Jesus, if we've run as far from Jesus as possible, if we're way back at a 1.5, what matters is simply which direction we're going to go from here. Wherever you are on that line, what matters is if you've decided to turn around and become more like Jesus, to try to follow him. That's what matters most, is that decision point. It's called repenting. The word repent just means to turn around. And so wherever you are on that line, whether you're like the younger son who ran as far from God as possible, or whether you're like the older son who was close to God but then started running away because he didn't get his way and thought he'd earned something that he deserved when he really didn't, whichever son you are, what matters is if you've repented and decided to follow Jesus towards a relationship with God once again. This story and this illustration, I hope they've all shown you that what matters in a relationship with God isn't what you deserved, what you earn. It's what God is willing to give us, his free gift of grace, his gift of forgiveness. It's not a question of whether you're a sinner or not, whether you've messed up or not, whether you've run from God, whether God has had to come find you or not. We're all in that together. What matters is whether you've accepted God's gift of forgiveness, because he offers it freely to us. He wants us back. He will give up his dignity to run after us, to forgive us, to get us to turn around, repent, come home, and adopt us into his family. That's Christian faith in a nutshell. Forgiveness. And it can't be broken apart like Donald Trump tried to do, like I talked about on Monday. It can't be broken apart. Christianity, Jesus, forgiveness, all the same thing. So here's your challenge for today. Where on that line do you see yourself? On the seeker side or the follower side? 0 to 50, 50 plus. But more importantly, in which direction on the graph are you heading right now? And if you're heading the wrong way, what's stopping you from turning around and running home to God's forgiveness? I hope you'll share that with somebody else you know. A really important part of our challenges is that you don't do them alone, but that you do them with others, that you form a little small group of people who you see regularly enough and that can watch the videos in the same days, and then whenever you're in person together, you can discuss what you've been learning. Hope you'll do that, especially because this is such a critical thing. And if you don't have anybody you can share this with, I hope you'll reach out to me. Send me a message through the app or website and let me know that you're following our challenges, where you are on that graph, and where you want to go from here. Bye for now.